second last verse of Surah Inna Anzalna, Allah Ta'ala says that the Malaika come down with the Ruh. What is the meaning of this word Ruh? It is translated as spirit. So reference here is to Jibreel alayhi salam. But commentators of the Quran have given various versions of this word. Let us see. The vast majority of the commentators are agreed that Jibreel alayhi salam is mentioned here. And according to Imam Razi, this is the most correct meaning. Allah first makes mention of the Malaika, and then because of Jibreel alayhi salam's status among them, special mention is made of him. Some commentators hold the view that spirits here mean one angel of such extraordinary gigantic proportions that before him the heavens and the earth appear as almost nothing. Another group of commentators opine the spirit here means a group of Malaika who never appear except on this night, and they are seen by other Malaika. Other commentators again believe that the word spirit here designates one such creation of Allah, which although partakes of food and drink, still it is neither man nor angel. And there is also a view that spirit here refers to Isa alayhi salam, who on this night comes down to the Malaika to view the right deeds of this ummah. And the last view we wish to mention here is the spirit means Allah's special mercy, which comes in the wake of the angel's descent. But as already stated earlier on, the first opinion is the most acceptable, and that is that Jibreel alayhi salatu salam is mentioned here. In this respect, Imam Bahiqa reports the hadith of Anas radiallahu anhu, wherein Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam reported to have said, on Laylatul Qadr, Jibreel alayhi salam comes down with a group of angels and makes dua for mercy for everyone whom they find busy in ibadah. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم ولقد خلقنا الإنسان ونعلم ما توسوس به نفسه ونحن أقرب إليه من حبل الوريد. In this ayat of the Quran and the few ayats that follow there, after which I will translate for you just now, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has invited us to reflect on one aspect which, if we can really give it good thought, it forms the basis and the guidance for our taqwa. When we speak of taqwa, we mean to be conscious of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala at all times, in this, that every action that we do, we first ask ourselves, that is this the command of Allah? And if it is the command of Allah, if I am going to do it, am I doing it correctly? And also, if a person is faced with a sin, the question comes in his mind, will this please my Allah or will this displease him? And is this an act of obedience or an act of disobedience? Then according to that, a person stays away from that action. So when he's got this continuously in him, then he, alhamdulillah, is very well on the way of consciousness and of taqwa, which is the ultimate goal of every person on the face of this earth. It's supposed to be, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَالْعَاقِبَةُ لِلْمُتَّقِينَ, that finally the final consequences and the best outcome is going to be for those people who are the muttaqin. And we know that the more we are aware that Allah Ta'ala is watching us, the more we'll be conscious about our deeds. Nowadays we go into a lot of big shops everywhere, in corporate places, in big marketplaces, and that if you go in the office, you find the guy sitting there, the security fellow, and he's got a whole lot of screens, and they are busy monitoring every corner and every alley and every aisle and every storeroom and every, even the yard entrance, we find that those things are busy flashing all the time, the screens, and it is picking up pictures and of movements of the employers as well, of the employees as well as of the customers. Customers half the time they don't know, but the employees are told that, you know, we've got you under camera surveillance at all times. So how they are acting, how they, you know, act, how they perform their duties, they know that they are being watched at all times. So they are going to be on their guard. And also over and above that, when they know that they are being guarded, like many times when you enter the shop, they have that thumbprint, you have to clock in, as they say, and when you have to leave, you have to clock out. When everything is done according to a record that is kept in front of a person, then he is very, very conscious as to how he goes about conducting his activities and his affairs. The other day I was looking at an article on the Arab news. They say in the haram they have got 5,000 cameras. 5,000 cameras to monitor the movements of the people. Obviously they're doing it for security as well as to ensure that movement is smooth, you know, where there's a stampede or a jam, or, you know, sometimes you find things happening and immediately this thing happens. And this is in Makkah, the center is in Mina. the whole operation room is in Mina, and from there they are sitting and they're watching, and then from there they will just contact the security fellows or whoever is in charge in terms of the haram logistics, and they will put things into place. But this is how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is watching us all the time, and this is what we are supposed to know. And there is one hadith we have come across, you have heard it also before, that when a person is going to be standing in front of Allah, he's going to be shown his whole life. Now, if this hadith was told to people of before, they must have been wondering, how is Allah Ta'ala going to show us our whole life? Obviously, we see Allah is all-powerful. But later on, when technology came about, it is not difficult to rewind and show the person his whole movement for the day. You just go on the camera and you tell him, this is, we've been watching, we've done this. We know how we can do all of those things. Even when there are crime activities, immediately the people pick it up. So, now let's go to the ayat of the Quran. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَلَقَدْ خَلَقْنَا الْإِنسَانَ وَنَعْلَمُ مَا تُوَسْوِسُ بِهِ نَفْسُ. We created man and we know what thoughts are going through his mind. Now, can you imagine how closely we are under surveillance by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Forget about our actions. The thoughts that pass through the various, flashes of thoughts that come through a person, whether it is good or whether it is bad, and it, all of that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, we know about it. And how close is Allah ta'ala? What is the camera situation there? Allah says, وَنَحْنُ أَقْرَبُ إِلَيْهِ مِنْ حَبْلِ الْوَرِيدِ. We are more closer to him than his jugular vein. That means the life-giving veins there where the blood is running, if those veins get hit, those arteries get hit, person is going to bleed to death immediately. Those are his life veins. We are even closer to him than his own life, basically. So we are so on to him with regard to his thoughts. And when a person gets thoughts, obviously it's not in our hands sometimes to have a bad thought or have a good thought. But if a bad thought comes, a lot of people say, how do we dispel it? So what we do at that time is, we just read, la hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. We don't brood on the thought. We don't brood on any evil thought or any evil sin we want to commit or that we have committed. We just drive it away. Thoughts are like, we say, an antenna is out there. It picks up all the waves that are coming in the airwaves. So it is like that. The thoughts are going to be coming all the time. So if a person has got good thoughts, Allah Ta'ala knows. If a person has got bad thoughts, even that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to know. If a person has got good intentions, sometimes he sees a situation and his heart, he becomes so pained and he makes the niyat. He says, if only I had this resource, I would have done that. That is also known by Allah Ta'ala. For that, Allah Ta'ala gives him a reward. He didn't say that to anybody. So that is how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala got us under surveillance. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala further speaks, إِذْ يَتَلَقَّ الْمُتَلَقِّيَانِ. And remember, when the receivers, when the receivers receive the deeds, this refers to the malaika that are seated on a person's shoulder. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, إِنَّ رُسُلَنَا يَكْتُبُونَ مَا تَمْكُرُونَ. That our messengers, they're busy writing down all the plans these people are making. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, بَلَا وَرُسُلُنَا لَدَيْهِمْ يَكْتُبُونَ. Remember, but our messengers are sitting by them and they're busy writing down. إِنَّا كُنَّا نَسْتَنْسِخُ مَا كُنْتُمْ تَعْمَلُونَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, we're busy recording everything that what you people are doing. So there are also ayat in the Quran that bring to our attention that every movement is being recorded by the malaika that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has stationed here on our shoulders, and they are busy taking down notes. And one on the right-hand side, for example, he takes down the good deeds, and the one on the left hand is taking down bad deeds. Now imagine if you are walking every day and you've got two fellows busy walking around. You're working in the shop, and the boss puts two fellows behind you. Everywhere you're busy working, you must write down. You did this, good. You were goofing off that. You were doing this. Lunch break, you took extra. How careful a person is going to do? These two fellows are busy walking around with him all the time. He'll be frustrated. Sooner or later, he'll want to do something to get rid of them. You can't get rid of this malaika from there. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has posted them there, and they are busy writing and busy noting down everything. That's why Hasan Basri rahmatullah alayhi says, you must know that your book of deeds is in your hands. Allah ta'ala has posted these malaika, they are sitting there and they are busy writing down. You do good deeds, it is written down. You do bad deeds, it's also written down. And on the day of Qiyamah, this entire book of deeds of yours is going to be hung around your neck. when you come in front of Allah. وَكُلَّ إِنسَانٍ أَلْزَمْنَاهُ طَائِرَهُ فِي عُنُقِهِ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, everyone's scroll, everyone's deeds are going to be hanging around his neck. He's going to come in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then it will be told to him, اِقْرَأَ كِتَابَكَ. Read your book. You read your own story. See what were you up to. Now, at that time, the person can't do anything. Therefore, we have to be aware at all times what we do, what we say. Nevertheless, it is said, the good news is that when a person does good deeds, the malaika note it down. When a person does bad deeds, the angels on the good side, he says, hang on. He tells to the fellow who's writing bad deeds, just hang on. Maybe he will make tawbah. Just wait. And when this person makes tawbah, then he says, you see, you didn't have to write it down. And when once he does the deed after some time, then only the other angels say, okay, now you can write. So this is the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But the point of this particular ayat of the Quran that we have written, we have mentioned, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling us that is the amount of surveillance we are under. So nobody will be watching us. We're busy filling in form, busy lying away all the time there. For example, or when we are giving wrong information to somebody, or when we are busy cheating, we are working for somebody and we are doing whatever we are not supposed to be doing, the different kind of things that people get up to. Nobody is watching. Where there's no cameras, we can do a lot of funny things and get away with it. But we must know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has got his angels. مَا يَلْفِزُ مِنْ قَوْلٍ إِلَّا لَدَيْهِ رَقِيبٌ عَتِيدٌ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, not a word is uttered, but these malaika are sitting there as guard, and they write it down, and they accompany this person everywhere and anywhere he goes, to such an extent that some word we utter sometime is so beloved to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It has such an impact on somebody else, we don't even know. You know, we just said something, and that person becomes so inspired, and he starts doing good things, and that reward is continuously coming our way. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, only on the day of Qiyamah, will tell us that you uttered this one word here. Just see what this one word was for you. And on the other side, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says sometimes the person utters one such word, you know, of kufr, of nashukri, of something where he blasphemes against Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That also, this person is out of the pale of Islam on account of having uttered those words. MashaAllah, he doesn't even know about it. He's still coming to read namaz, going for umrah, making tilawat. But he is out of the pale of iman. And all that is gone to waste. Can we imagine how careful we must be with our tongue? Qiyamah Day, the malaika will say, from this point onwards, when you uttered this word here, all your iman was gone. Therefore, all your deeds were now without iman, and you were not even regarded as a believer by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah ta'ala protect us. So, alhamdulillah, we're going to make dhikr now. And you must remember, related to what I just mentioned, the essence of dhikr is supposed to be this, what we just mentioned. That a person's heart at all times is, you know, beating with the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. His thoughts and his mind is at all time connected to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And if that state of dhikr, like the awliya Allah, that, you know, they talk to Allah, Adhari wa Shaykh Wazir Hazrat Muhammad Mazhar Sahib, Damat Barakatuhum, he says, wo Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala ke saath guftagu karte hai dil hi dil mein. They're talking to Allah all the time in their heart. They are communicating with him, and Allah Ta'ala is communicating back with them. That is when that heart becomes so solid and becomes so connected to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that the person does not even have to use his tongue. He does not even have to pick up his hand. His connection is on a totally different level. When that develops with the amount of dhikr. So we must make the dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, make it part of our daily life, and continuously keep our tongue wet with the dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We still got three more nights to go, my respected brother. Three more odd nights, that is. Mustn't be negligent about it. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us an opportunity. So we must not miss it even by chance. Somebody will say, you know, every year it's on the 27th. We don't know every year it's on the 27th. How we know? Some people will say it's already passed on the 23rd. They might just say, who knows? They'll say the dogs weren't barking on that night, so it must be on that night. People got all strange kind of formulas to work out this particular night. So we mustn't go by all that. Don't miss it out by chance. Make sure we get it by chance. Every night, whatever ibadah, even this tarawih we recited, I just mentioned the other day, we read 20 rakats, that's 40 sajdas, mashallah. That's not counting the sunnahs, the nafil, the isha namaz. One sajda, do we know what is the value of that? It is said when a person will be put in his qabr, and that time he'll be shown the reward of one sajda. And he will wish by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, can I just go back and make one more sajda? We made 40 sajdas today, mashallah. That is only in tilawat of Quran. We listen to the Quran tilawat. That in itself is such a great blessing of Allah. So we need to appreciate all these opportunities we have got, and it don't come, you know, once Ramzan is gone, we also are gone half the time, and we don't know where we are, what we are getting up to. So let us use these moments, my respected friends and brothers, to, you know, make the dhikr of Allah, to make ibadat, and to try and get that khayrun min al-fishar, that before better than 1,000 months reward, inshallah.